Morning. Surprised? Well, I thought I'd get up and see exactly what it is you do in the morning. What do you got there? A little toast? You know, someday you should get me up so I can have breakfast with you. No. Well, as long as you're up, sure. I'll take a couple of waffles, some eggs over easy, maybe a couple of hash browns. And boy, I haven't had fresh squeezed orange juice in a long time. Hey, listen. I just wanted to apologize for last night, you know, falling asleep on you. You know, if you weren't a special gal, I'd have had to get up this morning and make up some sort of an excuse. But not with you. Hey, this is good. You do your face right here at the table? Well, it's just I found an eyelash in the egg. No, don't worry about it. I just won't eat it. Hey, look at the calendar. Pretty special day for us today, huh? Poker night here at the house. You know, sometimes I look at you and I just swell. Because I know you're the kind of gal that loves to make sandwiches for her guy and his pals. Hey, listen. You think you could pick up some brewskis on your way home from work tonight? Oh, my gal's got to work late. Listen, don't worry about it. I'll just get them delivered. Hey, what are you doing there? You know garbage is a man's job. I'll get it this weekend. Oops, pop the button. Boy, am I lucky. I've got an old-fashioned gal, and she's going to sew it on right now for me, right? You are something. Wow, that was fast. You know, I was just thinking how lucky I really am. You know, being a free spirit, I just never thought I'd find somebody that could appreciate it the way that a free spirit needs to be appreciated. And here you are. Hey, listen, you got a 10 spot so I can pick up some brewskis for this afternoon for myself? Nah, don't worry about it. I'm sure there's a couple in the back of the fridge. Whoops. Hey, I'll get that purse. Hey, that's how much you net in a week? Boy, you know, a guy could really learn to respect that kind of dough. Hey, stop it. You don't have to apologize for your friends calling me a sponge. It's their loss if they don't understand a real 80s kind of relationship. Because we both know we've got something that's pretty special. Yeah, it comes from the inside, and that's... Hey, careful. You're blocking Tom and Jerry. Yeah, it comes from the inside, and that's what's important, right? Yeah, you better get going. Don't want you to be late. Of course you're going to miss me. Hey, you think you can grab the garbage on your way out? That a girl.
Head is caved in. Knees are buckled. I'm a wreck. Go up with window shade. Carry big wooden club. Stone club. Carry diner's club. Looking for woman. Caved out woman. I don't make dates. I break dates. Ow! And when I find her with club on her head, then drag her into cave with wall-to-wall bone. Ah!
Ooga laga pinga poo.
Crocodile fricassee, marinated tiger, chopped lizard liver, giraffe goulash on half shell. Oh, but still hungry! Hungry for woman! Ha! I have woman young. I give her to one of my sons. Who, my son, the witch doctor. Also, son of witch lawyer. Oldest son, witch dentist. 32 teeth. All in front. And with a drill.
Ooga laga pinga poo, you use a moolah.
hard time with squealing.
Ooga laga pinga poo. Ooga moola. Ooga laga pinga poo.
Caveman. Have fever.
Fever?
Pat him on the bibbick. Jungle fever. See mirage. See two-car mirage. See woman running with birthday suit. Which it was my birthday. Beautiful long blonde hair. All on upper lip. Mustache. Fever. Caveman. See dinosaur. Caveman. See Patty Page. Ooh. What's that in jungle? A beach. No, it's a bird. No, a hound. No. It's my cave woman. Cave woman.
Between the innocence of babyhood and the dignity of manhood, we find a delightful creature called a boy. Boys come in assorted sizes, weights, and colors. But all boys have the same creed: to enjoy every second of every minute of every hour of every day, and to protest with noise, their only weapon, when their last minute is finished and the adult males pack them off to bed at night. Boys are found everywhere. On top of, underneath, inside of, climbing on, swinging from, running around, or jumping to. Mothers love them. Little girls hate them. Older sisters and brothers tolerate them. Adults ignore them, and heaven protects them. A boy is truth with dirt on its face. Wisdom with bubble gum in its hair, and the hope of the future with a frog in its pocket. When you're busy, a boy is an inconsiderate, bothersome, intruding jangle of noise. When you want him to make a good impression, his brain turns to jelly. Or else he becomes a savage, sadistic jungle creature bent on destroying the world and himself with it. A boy is a composite. He has the appetite of a horse, the digestion of a sword swallower, the energy of a pocket-sized atomic bomb, and the curiosity of a cat. He has the lungs of a dictator, the imagination of a Paul Bunyan, the shyness of a violet, the audacity of a steel trap, the enthusiasm of a firecracker, and when he makes something, he has five thumbs on each hand. He likes ice cream, knives, saws, Christmas, comic books, the boy across the street, woods, water in its natural habitat, large animals, dad, train, Saturday mornings, and fire engines. He's not much for Sunday school, company, schools, books without pictures, music lessons, neckties, barbers, girls, overcoats, adults, or bedtime. Nobody else is so early to rise or so late to supper. Nobody else gets so much fun out of trees and dogs and breezes. Nobody else can cram into one pocket a rusty knife, a half-eaten apple, 3 feet of string, an empty Bull Durham sack, 2 gumdrops, 6 cents, a slingshot, a chunk of some unknown substance, and a genuine supersonic code ring with a secret compartment. A boy is a magical creature. You can lock him out of your workshop, but you can't lock him out of your heart. You can get him out of your study, but you can't get him out of your mind. Might as well give up. He's your captor, your jailer, your boss, your master. He's a freckle-faced, pint-sized, cat-chasing bundle of noise. But when you come home at night with only the shattered pieces of your hopes and dreams, he can mend them like new with those two magic words. Hi, Dad.
Railroad Bill was a hard-living man, used to take his women two at a time. Everyone agreed he was the baddest engineer to ever motor down the Santa Fe line. His name was known from the folks back home to the tippy top of Telegraph Hill. And all the little boys, when they were sneaking cigarettes, would dream of the Railroad Bill. One day Bill was walking along and he saw a kitten stuck in a tree. When he saw what's the matter, he ran to get a ladder to set that kitty cat free. Bill said, no, ain't gonna do it, ain't gonna climb no tree. This is a stupid song, and old folk singer's gonna make a fool out of me. I said, one day Bill was walking along and he saw a kitten stuck in a tree. When he saw what's the matter, he ran to get a ladder to set that kitty cat free. Bill said, no, ain't gonna do it, ain't gonna do what you said. This is a stupid, stupid song, and as far as I'm concerned, that cat can stay there till it's dead. I said, wait a minute, Bill, you can't argue with me. For God's sake, I just made you up. I got the pin in my hand, I want you up in that tree, and I want that cat unstuck.
No, I hate cats. I ain't gonna climb for no cat. Perhaps I could rescue a beautiful woman who's been tied down on the railroad track.
I said, maybe there'll be room in the eighth or ninth verse, but right now I want you up in that tree. I'm the writer, goddamn, I got the pen in my hand, and you're supposed to listen to me.
You asshole, why should I listen to you? You should listen to me instead. I'm a railroad man, and if I were real, I'd separate your face from your head.
You ungrateful brute, I cried, you pushed me too far. I gotta show you I can do as I please. Then an earthquake came and shook the whole terrain and brought Railroad Bill to his knees. A tidal wave broke and everything got soaked, and Bill was almost completely washed away. And a big green monster from the planet Neptune landed and bit Railroad Bill on the leg. I got the pen in my hand, I can do what I want. I'm a bright young talent on the rise. So get your ass at that tree, or I swear you're not going to get out of my folk song alive. Thank you, thank you.
You don't scare me. You might be funny, but you don't scare me. If you don't leave me alone, I'm gonna tell everybody where you stole this melody.
But before he could speak, his tongue fell out and he could not make a sound.
He jumped on me. He grabbed me by the neck.
And he pulled me to the ground. He hit me in the stomach and he hit me in the face real hard. And I think he almost broke my nose. Just then a lightning bolt came out of the middle of nowhere to hit him right between the eyes and killed him instantly. The cat came down from the tree, had a bowl of warm milk, and went to sleep for the night. Railroad Bill is survived by a wife and three lovely children. Dear God, I love to ride.
Have you heard anything recent, Squatter?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't think you would have heard anything of Squatter.
Yeah, what's he up to at the moment?
Squatter Madras? Well, he tends to lie a bit low, you know.
Really? Why's that?
Well, he that's the way he lies. A bit low, which is the best way to lie, I think, in my view. But Squatter was one of my very best friends, which is him and him. He is, in fact, my only best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Squatter had this incredible quality, which was, I don't know how you can define it, but I would say it was, I say stupidity.
Yes.
Which very few people I've known have got quite the same extent that Squatter has.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever told you the story about Squatter and the ant.
No.
Have I told you about Squatter and the ant?
No.
So Squatter was in a terrible position.
Yeah.
He's in Bahrain, which is a pretty bloody place to be.
Yeah.
And there was this ant.
Yes.
Which had only one leg.
God.
And only one eye.
God.
And it was about 2 miles away from Squatter.
God.
So, pretty bloody menacing position for Squatter.
Yeah.
It was equipped only with, you know, a hydrogen bomb.
God.
Six grenades. God. And, a few rifles.
Yeah.
And this bloody ant, one eye, one leg, was advancing towards Squatter at about, I'd say, about a mile every century, you know.
God.
Really speeding up.
Yeah.
I think the animal was on drugs.
Yes, or heat.
Or heat, yes, as you may say.
Mm.
And Squatter,
yes,
with his extraordinary calm, took it very smoothly.
Yeah.
And you know what he did?
No.
Nothing.
He'd gone.
He immediately did nothing.
Yeah.
And this stupefied the ant. Stopped in its tracks.
Yeah.
It didn't move an inch for about 3.5 years.
Yeah.
But still, Squatter was very much aware of the problem of the ant with all of one leg and all of one eye advancing towards him. So he took up, you know, strategic positions, about 5,000 men on one side and 7,000 men on the other side, all equipped with various kinds of guns and so on. The ant was fairly pinpointed. But what was odd...
Yes, go on, go on.
I will. Was the ant understood Squatter. The ant realized he is up against somebody as good as he was.
There's some sort of understanding between... They knew they were...
Equals in a struggle, yes.
Yeah.
So Squatter, with a tremendous display of courage, put up his hands and surrendered.
Yeah.
And the ant, 5 years later...
5 years later?
Yes, 5 years later, crept into the hole, and Squatter was gone.
Mm.
And this is the extraordinary thing about Squatter.
Mm-hmm.
He was never there when he was wanted.
No, no.
And Squatter told me later that he had gone because he'd had to go.
I think that's...
That sums up Squatter for me.
Yes. It's a sort of very simple approach to life.
Well, the ant these days is writing his memoirs, you know, the Sunday Telegraph. But Squatter...
Squatter refuses to come.
He refuses to comment on the whole situation.
Yeah,
he just won't.
Yeah.
He just won't. I think you're quite right.
I think he retains his dignity.
Well, he retains everything.
Yeah.
I got a man that's more than 8 foot tall, 4 foot shoulders, and that ain't all. King size papa, he's my king size papa. I take the door off the hinges when my baby comes to call. There's such a lot of him, the way he grew, enough to last till 1992. King size papa, he's my king size papa. He's a real super daddy and he knows just what to do. No one can thrill me like my baby can. He's such an extraordinary man. King size papa, he's my king size papa. Never was nothing like him since the day the world began. He's around, there's not a thing I lack. When he loves me, he holds nothing back. King size papa, he's my king size papa. Everything that I need, he carries in his king size pack. They built a boulder dam, the Empire State, and then they made my man, and is he great? King size papa, he's my king size papa. He's the one in a million who can really keep me straight. He's got big strong arms to hold me tight, then he squeezes me with all his might. King size papa, he's my king size papa. He's my one big moment and I'll keep him right inside.
My woman, what could I do to make her happy and keep her true? She said, the one thing I want from you is a little piece of the big bamboo. For the big bamboo, it grows good and long. The big bamboo, it grows always strong. The big bamboo stand up straight and tall, and the big bamboo pleases one and all. My woman a coconut. She said, my friend, that is okay, but though I know you want to be good to me, what good is the nut without a tree? For the big bamboo, it grows good and long. The big bamboo, it grows always strong. The big bamboo stand up straight and tall, and the big bamboo pleases one and all. My woman a sugar cane, sweets for the sweet, I did explain. She handed it back, to my surprise. She liked the flavor but not the size. For the big bamboo, it grows good and long. The big bamboo, it grows always strong. The big bamboo stand up straight and tall, and the big bamboo pleases one and all. Gave my woman a banana plant. She said, it sure looks elegant. It's much too nice to go to waste, but it's much too soft to suit my taste. For the big bamboo, it grows good and long. The big bamboo, it grows always strong. The big bamboo stand up straight and tall, and the big bamboo pleases one and all. Ever since they created man, he has pleased his woman as best he can. But I find that the women are only true for the man who give them the big bamboo. For the big bamboo, it grows good and long. The big bamboo, it grows always strong. The big bamboo stand up straight and tall, and the big bamboo pleases one and all.
Do it with sheep. sheep. They'll eat and do it with sheep. They'll eat and do it with sheep. They'll eat and do it with sheep.
Say, guys, let's face it. Today's clothes are designed to look good on today's good-looking men. When's the last time you saw a male model that parts his teeth in the middle? When you're ugly, it's hard to find clothes that go with your look unless you shop at Ugly Men's Clothing Store.
He's an ugly man.
Ugly Men's Clothing Store, where ugly men can find clothes designed for them. Even starvation won't stare you in the face when you wear one of our special designer ties. Your own mother will forget you have to lift your nose to eat when she sees these ugly short-sleeved shirts.
He's an ugly man.
So, if you're the kind of guy who has to sneak up on the mirror to shave in the morning, or if you've ever gone into a cornfield and scared the crows so much they brought back the corn they took the year before, then you should be shopping at the Ugly Men's Clothing Store.
He's an ugly man.
Ugly Men's Clothing, now with two locations, downtown at the bus terminal and in the county at the bus terminal.
No. I am Smiley Emperor. No. A rough rider. No. I beat my wife. No. Every night. No. She scream and cry. No. Under me. No. I bust her head. No. Last night, I got another rich, pretty girl under me. I have victory every day. I feel marvelous all over. Yeah, I win big everywhere. Boy, I'm very happy all over. I am Smiley Emperor. A wicked grinder. I wreck my wife. Every night. She shake and shiver. No, under me. I bust her chest. Last night. I got another rich, pretty girl. Under me. She couldn't even walk. When I saw her today, tell you what I say, she run to me yesterday. I am Smiley Emperor, a world conqueror. I am ruler over all men, and I mash up my wife every night. No. I said I beat my woman. No. Every night. She couldn't even walk when I saw her today. Tell you what I say, she run to me yesterday. I am Smiley Emperor, a world conqueror. I am ruler over all men, and I mash up my wife. Every night. I said I beat my woman. Every night. I said I beat my woman. Every night. I said I beat my woman. Every night.
A teenage boy is a rare combination of many living creatures. He runs like a gazelle, swims like a fish, eats like a horse, sleeps like a bear, laughs like a hyena, and makes noises like a cage full of monkeys. In reality, he's just a normal, happy, healthy American boy, too old to be a child and too young to be a man. The teenage boy can be found beneath a crew cut, behind a black eye, in front of the corner drugstore, over large portions of food, and more often than not, under the stern look of his father. Teenage boys are positive that their fathers never were teenagers, or else how could they possibly be so square? Although a teenage boy is rarely serious, he nevertheless does an outstanding job with the things he really likes to do, such as just goofing, taking clocks apart, playing records that really send him, dodging household chores, and spending money, preferably not his own. He dislikes visiting his relatives, running errands, hanging up his clothing, hats, and bathtubs. Along with his other animal traits, a teenage boy has the incredible memory of an elephant. He remembers his first haircut, his kindergarten teacher, the batting average of every Major League Baseball player, and all the words of all the current songs. Yet, with this great retentive memory, he forgets to change his socks, wash his neck, close the door behind him, his mother's birthday, and his two lines in the school play. Teenage boys have one tricky device for getting even with their parents for such things as scoldings, curfews, forced labor, and things like that. They continuously keep growing out of brand new suits, shirts, shoes, and out of hand. However, there are several methods employed by a father to show the teenage boy just who the boss is: by reasoning, by pleading, by coaxing, by threatening, by putting his foot down, by bribing, and at the point of frustration, by dropping the whole thing and forgetting who the boss really is. A teenager changes from a daytime roughneck to a nighttime gentleman when he starts getting ready for his first real dress-up dance. Foremost in his preparations is the shaving of the two stray hairs lurking in the peach fuzz. And finally, after spending 20 minutes getting the wave in his hair just right, he's off to the dance. And there, typical of most teenage boys, he and his buddies will stand around in small groups making comments while they watch the girls dance with each other. In the evening, in the seclusion of his room, a teenage boy will dream of his future. He pictures himself as a jet pilot breaking the sound barrier several times a day. Or perhaps he's navigating the first rocket ship to the moon. Or maybe he's just broken Babe Ruth's home run record. Basking in the glories of his dream world accomplishments, he suddenly finds himself back to reality. He has just heard the proud, familiar voice of his mother calling from the kitchen.
For the last time, you get right down here and take the garbage out.
All right, here we go again. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Bit Slap with me, welcome to the Bit Slap. And today we have a bunch of man songs for all you men out there. After the Super Bowl, you probably have some testosterone left over. Am I right? I thought so. And last week we did women, so it's only fair, right? As you can tell, I'm not much friendlier to men than I am to women. This is probably why I'm in a small room with artificial light all the time. Anyway, we started with Duck Logic. Only thing I know about them is that they're from Chicago, and they're some kind of comedy group. They do some songs, etc. That was Joe. Joe the Love Potato has breakfast. Caveman was, of course, Jim Backus from probably the early 60s. What is a Boy? From Arthur Godfrey. Remember Arthur Godfrey, that nice old guy from TV? Well, it turns out he was really an asshole, but that's not for me to say, so forget I mentioned it. Livingston Taylor after that, covering Andy Breckman's Railroad Bill. Squatter and the Ant, that was Derek and Clive, and of course you know who they really were. Julia Lee and her boyfriends, that was the King Size Papa. Big Bamboo from the Duke of Iron. I can do this. Cecil Anderson was his real name, and he was from Trinidad, okay? The Anemic Boyfriends, I know you remember that. Yes, they were one-hit wonders. That was Guys Are Not Proud. We heard from Stevens and Gridnick. We'll hear from them again in a second. And then we heard Smiley Manvoor. Smiley Manvoor. Proof that some guys are assholes, right? Just like I said. I Am Smiley Emperor. And then Tom Edwards. What is a teenage boy? His answer to what is a teenage girl, which you heard last week. Okay? So I know it's not. I know tomorrow is Cat Day. The 8th of February is Cat Day. But I, honest to God, do not have any more cat songs. So let me wish Happy Cat Day to you and all your cats. And to my own special kitties here, we got Jersey, my co-producer, and then Gilly, who's learning quickly, I must say. She's an interesting cat. We've had her for about 6-7 months now. She's the only cat I've ever run into where you can clip her nails and rub her belly without getting killed. All right? So my best to all cats everywhere, and we'll see what we can do about doing that again next year, okay? So let's get back to business here. I got more man songs, starting with a guy who knows a few things about men and kangaroos. All right, I don't know. I'll be back.
I've got hair oil on me ears and me glasses slipping down, but baby, I can see through you. I'm buying all the drinks and you treat me like a clown, and you'll leave me when the evening is through. When my hair is wild and woolly, then you say I look a creep, and you tell me put some hair oil on. Then I get some on me ears and me glasses start to slip, and the romance is gone. I've picked up lots of tips from the best of magazines on how a chap should dress, and judging by the trouble that I've taken with myself, you should be hot for my caress. I've got talcum under arms till it's coming out in clouds, and I've put some aftershave on too, but the hair oil on me ears and me glasses slipping down seem to tell me we're through. I want you to know how very thrilled I was when I found out that you could come out to the dance with me tonight, this evening, to the dance, like today. And I want you to know that this is going to be one of the loveliest nights. This is one of the nights. Oh, gee, the band's nice. Would you like to have this last dance? Well, I just thought I'd ask, you know. I held you really close when we first went on the floor, and we haven't danced since then. And every time I lean across to whisper something sweet, my glasses start to slide again. But I've read about the power of the positive approach, and there's something I intend to do.
just you sit and listen, and I'll take my glasses off. I love you. Yes, I know I'm shy, but I love you.
I left home when I was 5, and now I'm 25, and I'm 5'9½" tall. And I ain't scared of no one in the spring, summer, winter, or fall. One day I went into this saloon. There was a man playing cards in that back room. Picked on me, and I hit him back. Oh yeah, I hit him. Next thing I knew was very late, and I yelled, ha! I told you you're 5'11", but I don't care if you're 6'7", 'cause I'm 5'9½" tall. And I ain't scared of no one in the spring, summer, winter, or fall. Then a year later I went into this store. There was this man standing on the floor tall and mean. He picked on me and I hit him back. Oh yeah, I hit him. Next thing I knew was very late, and I yelled, I told you you're 6'3", but I don't care if you're 7'3", 'cause I'm 5'9½" tall, and I ain't scared of no one this spring, summer, winter, or fall. When the people told me that this was the son of the man that I struggled with in that saloon, I put on my hat and coat, left that town as fast as I could. They told me he had another brother who was 6'7", but I didn't care because I'm 5'9½" tall. 6 months later, I was walking in a park, and there was a man sitting in the dark. He recognized my face from a worn-out newspaper that he had traced. He looked at me, and I looked at him. He told me he was 6'7". But I told him I'm 5'9½" tall, and I ain't scared of no one in the spring, summer, winter, or fall. He picked on me, and I hit him back. Oh, yeah, I hit him. Next thing I knew was very late. 3 days later, I was walking down the street. I heard a voice. Oh, yes, it was so sweet. It said, son, son. I turned around, and to my surprise, it was my sweet mom. I ran to her and held her in my arms. I asked her, how's Dad, John, and Bill? She looked at me and said, your dad was playing cards in this saloon. He had to struggle with this man never to get up. John also had to struggle with this man in a store, never to come home again. Bill was tall, 6'7". He went looking for this man. 3 days ago, Bill was found lying on the ground in this old park. I looked at Mom and said, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry.
It's the end of another long, hard day punching cattle. And the sweat is dripping off your manhood because you're a man. And you sweat like a man, like only a man can, because you do a man's job that really works up a man's appetite. And only a man knows what a man wants to know when a man really wants a man's taste. And that taste is the taste of Wrigler's beef-flavored gum. Wrigler's beef-flavored gum, the kind of gum that belongs between a man's teeth. And now, Wrigler's brings you new barbecued beef-flavored gum. Wrigler's, the meat lover's gum.
her say that you'll be mine and that you will love me till the end of time. So, hey, 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 I'm a working man. And I'll work, work, work as hard as I can.
So many times as a little boy, I sat and watched and marveled and daydreamed of how someday I'd like to be the man behind the wheel of a big truck, hearing the sound of their mighty motors as they roar down the road. Well, that dream never came true for me. Yet, though now I'm a man, I've done my share of travel. And now, many years later, I still get that feeling of power and command every time I see a big truck go by. Now, each man has a talent, and though my talent didn't follow my daydreams, I still admire the talent of that man behind the wheel. You just think for a minute what it takes to handle one of those big rigs. It takes judgment, timing, being alert, courtesy, strength, and a whole lot of determination. Truck driving is really a world of its own, and sometimes it's a lonely world. Being away from home for days or weeks at a time. I've met a lot of these men, and believe me, they're a special kind of men. They're the men who have families and are dedicated to their homes. And then there are the men who don't have families. Men who just love the road and like to be on the go. It gives them that untied feeling. Free. Going somewhere. Seeing new places. And new faces. A pretty waitress, maybe. Listening to a jukebox while he's having coffee and pie and, well, in some truck stop a long, long way from home. And you know something? That man behind the wheel lives by a code. Unwritten, perhaps, but it's a code just the same. And that is that the man behind the wheel watches over the lives of everyone he meets on our highways. You probably remember a story in the newspapers a short time ago about the truck driver who overturned his truck in a ditch, giving his life to keep from hitting a little girl who had darted across the road in front of him. Yes, we all owe the man behind the wheel a salute. Just look how the truck has helped build this great land of ours. And the man who drives that truck might be the man next door. He might be your sister Sally's boyfriend. Or he just might be your Uncle Jim. Anyway, if he's a truck driver, he's a very important part of America's way of life. The man behind the wheel.
Hey!
To my way of thinking, men have only one real problem, other men. A long time ago, men gave away their power to other men. They gave it away because they believed what these other men told them. They bought the okey-doke, the bullshit. Men always buy the okey-doke when it comes from other men. Some stranger probably stood up at a campfire and said, "All right, boys, from now on, I'm the king. The sun is my father, the moon is my mother, and they're the ones who tell me when to throw the virgins into the volcano. I'll be expecting all of you to bow deeply when you see me and give me half your crops. Plus, I'm allowed to fuck your wife. And don't forget, if I want to, I can concentrate real hard and make your head explode." And the other men around the campfire nodded their heads and said to one another, "This guy makes a lot of sense." Because a man is not too bright. This is the male disease. It's called being full of shit. The male disease includes the need to be in charge at all times. But all the while, in order to fit in and belong, he has to act like all the other men and do what they do, so he'll be accepted. His manliness also requires that he refuse to go to a doctor or a hospital unless it can be demonstrated to him that he has in fact been clinically dead for 6 months. "No sense going to the hospital, honey. I don't seem to be in a coma." Therefore, he must learn to ignore pain. "It doesn't really hurt. Bleeding from 6 holes in the head doesn't really hurt. Just give me the remote and get me a beer and get the fuck out of here." All the problems in the world, repeat, all the problems in the world can be traced to what fathers do to their sons. So little boys learn to hide their feelings, and society likes that, because that way, when they get to be 18, they'll be able to go overseas and kill strangers without feeling anything. And so, as a result of all this repression of feelings, the extent of the average man's emotional expression is the high five. Or sometimes, when really deep feelings emerge, both hands, the high ten. There are 5 deadly male subcultures, and they all overlap. The car and machinery culture, the police and military culture, the outdoors and gun culture, the sports and competition culture, and the drug and alcohol culture. And as a bonus, I'm going to throw in one more. The let's go get some pussy and beat the shit out of queers culture. Many men belong to all 6. And as it happens, all these male subcultures share a particular set of features. Homophobia, coupled with an oddly ironic, complete childlike trust in male authority. Men are attracted to powerful men. They also share a strong fear and dislike of women, and this in spite of a pathological obsession with pussy. So why are men like this? I think the overriding problem for men is that in life's main event, reproduction, they're left out. Women do all the work. What do men contribute? Generally, they're just looking for a quick parking space for some sperm. It's my belief that most of these flawed male chromosomes should not be allowed to go forward for even one more unfortunate generation. But such is biology. And so, excluded as they are from reproduction, men must find other ways to feel useful and worthwhile. As a result, they measure themselves by the size of their guns, the size of their cars, the size of their dicks, and the size of their wallets. And let me tell you why all this happened. Because women are the source of all human life. The first human being came from the belly of a female, and all human fetuses begin as females. The brain itself is basically female until hormones act on it to make it structurally male. All men are modified females. Where do you think those nipples came from, guys? Is that what's on your mind, Bunky? That would explain the hostility. Women got the good job, men got the shitty one. Females create life, males end it. It's nature's supreme joke. Deep in the womb, men start out as the good thing and wind up as the crappy thing. Not all men. Just enough. Just enough to fuck things up. And the dumbest part of it all is that not only do men accept all this shit, half of it they do to themselves.
I want a man who washes the dishes.
I want a man who'll make the bed.
I want a man who's not suspicious.
I want a man who's halfway dead.
I want a man who'll do the laundry.
Vacuum the carpet, sweep the floor.
I want a man who knows his boundaries. No one can ask for more.
I want a woman who...
Oh, shut up.
Sit down.
Yes, dear, here, dear, right away.
I want a man who follows orders. I want a man with nothing to say.
I want a man with no ambition.
I want a man with half a brain.
I want a man without a mission.
I want a man who won't complain.
I want a man who carved the turkey.
Eat the goldfish, cook the meal.
I want a man who's kind of jerky.
I want a man who does not feel.
Just a second, I'm coming. Just a moment, I'm on my way. Can I get you a cup of tea, dear? Just a moment, you'll need a tray.
I want a man with no desires.
I want a man without a goal.
I want a man who'll build the fires.
Stir the coffee, stir the coals.
I want a man who likes what I like, does what I do, won't say no. I want a man who'll always be here. I want a man who'll let me go.
Just a second, I'll fix the toaster. Just a moment, I'll get the door. Just a moment, you'll need a coaster. Let me get at your feet are sore. Just a minute, dear, I'm coming. Just a moment, I'm on my way. Can I get you a cup of tea, dear? Just a moment, just start the tray. Just a minute, dear, wait a minute, darling. Just a moment, love, I'm on my way. Can you do this? Can I get you that? Can you get anything all to start the day? Just a minute, dear, wait a minute, darling. Just a moment, love, I'm on my way. Can you do this? Can you get something?
My husband, lover, friend, on him I can always depend. He can be so very nice that I feel like sugar and spice. But just one glance can turn me to ice. Makes me feel like the hiding mice. I love him so very much. There are times him I just can't touch. The bruises on my eyes and nose, they go all the way to my toes. Times when I could yell and shout, call the police and have him thrown out. Then a shadow crosses my face. I know no one could ever take his place. That's when I thank the Lord above. For I still have someone to love. I have faults of my own, that's true. But I try not to act like a shrew. He has the faults of those, but when I need comfort for my woes, it's my husband, lover, friend, on whom I can always depend. When we reach those pearly gates, I sure hope God chooses us for mates. I sure hope God chooses us.
Someone to scold me whenever I am bad. Yes, every day.
A boyfriend is something that every girl wants, and some girls have more than their share. Girls' fathers don't think they're good enough. Girls' mothers tolerate them and their appetites, and little brothers provoke them. Boyfriends have the uncanny knack of always picking the wrong time to do and say things. He'll bring a new friend of his over to meet you when your hair is up in curlers while you're scrubbing the front porch. He'll mention the new dress you bought on the sly with the help of your mother, right in front of your father, who wasn't in on the secret nor the price. And speaking of money, a boyfriend has more ways to spend money and less money to spend than anyone else you know. Boyfriends and cars just seem to go together. His car is a 1950 model with a souped-up engine and dual exhaust. Hanging from the rearview mirror is your scarf and a large pair of dice. It's not the newest car on the road, but he's driving it and, well, it's sharp. Of course, he's always got the radio tuned to the most popular radio station in town where you can hear your favorite disc jockey saying... Ah, that's really living. The latest records, your boyfriend, and his very own car, with only 13 more payments left. Boyfriends are not much for dancing to rock and roll tunes, although they do like to dance to the slow and dreamy numbers, providing the lights in the hall are turned down low. It's during these dances that he sings the words to the song, slightly off-key, right in your ear. And this is where your lipstick smears his collar. A boyfriend will try to pretend that he doesn't care much for other girls, but you catch him looking at them, and somehow you don't really mind, because you remember what he whispered to you last night when he said goodnight. A boyfriend likes bowling, sports cars, drive-in movies, all kinds of food, your mom, sometimes your dad, auto supply stores, swimming, weekend jobs, and, of course, you. He doesn't like your old boyfriend getting up in the morning or going to bed at night, salads, mowing the grass, cleaning the family car, or getting conventional haircuts. A boyfriend is truly a miraculous creature. You may never marry him. He may move away, you'll never see him again, but you'll always remember him as your first real teenage boyfriend. Girls, if he's with you right now, why not lean over and kiss him? And thank him for being your boyfriend.
I know this man, he's very old, very wise, very bold. He has no children, but he has a wife. He's really living a long life. Old man, you're still living. Old man, you're still living. Old man, you're still pushing on. He got married when he was 80 to a 65-year-old lady. He's getting older, well, she is too. He's gonna die, the doctor knew. Old man, you're gonna die. Old man, we're gonna cry. Old man, you're still pushing on. He died on Sunday, the time was 5. Everyone was sad, and they all had to cry. They buried him in the ground, and people came to see. Oh, they came from all around. died. Oh man, we all cried. Oh man, we're still pushing on.
Put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. And go out to the car and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe. And then go fetch my slippers. And boil me up another pot of tea. Then pour. Someday, don't I warn you when you're getting fat? Ain't I gonna take you fishing with me someday? Well, a man can't love a woman more than that. Oh, ain't I always nice to your kid sister? Don't I take you driving every night? So sit here at my feet, 'cause I like you when you're sweet. And you know it ain't feminine to fight.
So pour another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. Go out to the car and lift it up and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe. Then go fetch my slippers. And boil me up another pot of tea. Then put another log on the fire, babe. Come and tell me why you're leaving me. Oh, put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. And go out to the car and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old.
Right, we're back here, and I have a playlist for you here. If you're interested, in artificial, realities and alternate facts and alternate playlists, please see me after the show. I can give you whatever you need. They're in the trunk of my car. We started with Rolf Harris. That was Hair Oil on My Ears. Rolf, you remember, had a little bit of problem with the law surrounding pornography. Did some prison time, but it didn't slow him down. He's 86 years old now, and he's still pretty active. My understanding is he does kind of like a painting show, a la Bob Ross, you know, with the happy little trees, happy little kangaroos, I don't know. 5 feet 9.5 inches was Dick Kent, who really, really sounded like Rod Keith to me. I don't know. I'm no expert. We heard from Stevens and Gridnick, and then Cookie Cook. That was the working man. The man behind the wheel was George Morgan. He was the last performer to appear on the Grand Ole Opry stage before they moved. I appeared on that stage myself once. It was during a tour. Yeah. We heard from the Story Sisters. He's a bad motorcycle. Broom, 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 broom. George Carlin after that. A few words about men, for those of you who haven't gotten the word yet. We heard from Uncle Banzai after that. I Want a Man. Uncle Banzai, I'm trying to get the computer to show me here. Uncle Banzai was made up of Andrew Ratshin, you got it, Arnie Adler, and Ashley O'Keefe, although I believe Ashley left and they replaced her with somebody else. But they're still going at it, and they're still pretty funny. My husband, lover, and friend was Bobby Blake, or maybe it was Terry Summers, I don't know, one of those MSR people. Marcy Blaine after that. Who's going to take my daddy's place? Of course, you remember Bobby, Marcy from Bobby's Girl. And in my research today, I am pretty much informed that there's a bunch of Bobby songs, so we'll see if we can find them in our answers song thing coming up in a few weeks. All right. We heard from Tom Edwards again, What is a Boyfriend, from 1957. Ralph Lowe, another MSR person, An Old Man's Life. And then Bill and Boyd from New Zealand in 1975. That was, of course, Put Another Log on the Fire. All right. So I will see you next week. We will have some more crazy comedy and sort of stuff for you next week, like we try to do every week. So tune in then, and I got two more for you, so enjoy.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Every time I close my eyes, I pray I will open them and find the way to my Prince Charming, Prince Charming. Be my one and only one. Every night with open arms I'd run to my
Prince Charming, Prince Charming. Well, where is my Prince Charming, Prince Charming? Please don't pass me by, Prince Charming. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I would live, all my heart and all my soul I give to my
Prince Charming, Prince Charming. Where is my Prince Charming, Prince Charming?
Immediately following a girl's dream of a knight in shining armor and that long walk down the middle aisle comes that shattering reality commonly called a husband. A husband is...
Well, there are various ways of acquiring a husband. Candlelight, false eyelashes, homemade pies, wealthy parents, flattery, trickery, and determination. To avoid being one is the primary purpose of every single male. And the primary purpose of every married male is to get every single male married. What are husbands made of? Pipes, waterproof watches, do-it-yourself kits, World Series tickets, fishing trips, conventions, receding hairlines, clumsy feet, and, when they disagree with you, fat heads. When you want them, they can usually be found under cars, inside TV sets, behind newspapers, making bologna sandwiches, in hot water, and frequently in debt. Nobody can come home so late with so many alibis and bring along so many friends for dinner without letting you know. A husband is a rare combination of dreams of conquest, delusions of grandeur, animal magnetism, and wide-eyed innocence with lipstick on his collar. When you're sick, he's the doctor. When you're lost, he's the Boy Scout. When you cry, he's the comic. And when you can't stretch your budget, he's your piggy bank. A husband is an endless source of information. He knows taxes are too high, salaries too low, how to get things wholesale, a screwball from a knuckleball, the answer to last week's quiz shows, how to have a ticket fixed, army buddies, and too many other women. He doesn't know what's eating his boss, what makes his mother-in-law tick, what this world is coming to, how to mambo, and how to keep his mouth shut. Just so you can remember him every minute of the day, he leaves you with shirts to iron, buttons to sew on, spots to take off, messy ashtrays, clothes to pick up, garbage to take out, and then comes home and asks, "What have you done all day?" Who else can fix a hot water heater so quickly and then telephone the plumber for help? Who else can say, "Happy birthday," when it's really your wedding anniversary? And who else can spend a romantic evening yawning, reading, snoozing, and switching TV channels? A husband is lord and master with a dish towel in his hand, a tycoon pushing a lawnmower, and a metropolitan tenor singing in the shower. And when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and you look across the bed, the face you see is not Clark Gable, not Liberace. It's that unshaven, unkempt, bleary-eyed, wonderful hunk of a man, your husband.